big question. How much blame does BP take for the Gulf of Mexico oil spill?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good day to you from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Right now, we're going to ask the big question. Today, it has to do with an internal BP report just released this morning about what happened in the Gulf. Not surprisingly, the company claims it was only partly responsible for the spill. It says other companies, partners in the deepwater well, contributed. Barbara Shook is Houston Bureau Chief and Reporter-at-Large for the Energy Intelligence Group. She's with us live from Houston. Good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
BP paints this thing, Barbara, with a pretty big brush. I mean, what does it mean for its relationship with these other companies that they implicate in this report?
BP is going to have to work with these companies in the future. And so at this point, I think they're trying to minimize their legal liability to the maximum degree possible, while knowing that it's still going to have to work with these companies. But right now, the big concern is minimizing that legal liability for the lawsuits that are going to go on for probably the next two decades.
Well, minimizing. So I'm curious, with all the litigation, as you mentioned, in the disaster, could BP really admit much more than it has?
Absolutely not. The lawsuits are going to make past litigation in the oil patch, such as the Texaco Pennzoil actions, look like penny ante card games.
Texaco, explain that a little bit.
That had to do with who lured whom into what kind of a merger transaction, and the original damage awards exceeded $10 billion, if I recall correctly. That was about 15 years ago. I think the total numbers in this event could be even larger when you throw in the environmental penalties.
Hey, quickly, Barbara, could this be, I don't know, like a PR move to preempt other reports about what happened, sort of BP's way of controlling the message?
Very, very certainly. We've had numerous hearings here in Houston and throughout the Gulf Coast area. Halliburton has made its case in those hearings, and its case is, believe me, diametrically opposite to what came out in the BP report today.
Barbara
Shook.
So
we already have other arguments.
Barbara Shook from the Energy Intelligence Report. Thanks for your time. We appreciate it.
Always a pleasure to be on.
All right. Even more woes for the fossil fuel sector, this time coming from the White House. To pay for some of President Obama's economic ideas, such as fixing infrastructure, he's trying to eliminate some tax breaks, specifically some deductions that oil and gas companies currently enjoy. From the Sustainability Desk in Washington, Marketplace's Scott Tong reports.
A big chunk of the $50 billion the president wants to pay for new infrastructure would come from cutting tax breaks for drilling. One of those deductions lets oil and gas companies offset taxes they pay overseas. Another goes to firms producing oil and gas domestically. Analyst Kevin Book at Clearview Energy Research says the environment's bad for oil firms. In the spring, they'd banked on a climate bill with give and take. Now, the bill's history. And with the BP fallout, it's all about giving till it hurts.
For energy companies, the clamps are on. Regulation is still pervasive and increasing, and now Congress has a funding gap and no reason to tie their hands behind their back when it comes to changing tax policy for fossil fuels.
Even if the president's ideas fall flat, oil and gas subsidies are a frequently targeted ATM for other ideas, like tax breaks for renewable energy. Petroleum industry groups say the changes would make American production less competitive and increase imports of foreign energy. In Washington, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
Oil stocks are helping raise European shares today. Shares of BP are up about 1.5% in London. Markets are higher at the continent, about 0.5% right now. Asian shares closed much higher, much lower today in Japan and in Hong Kong, about 2% lower. Wall Street yesterday, markets lost about 1%. The Dow fell 107 points to close at 10,340. Yesterday on this program, we told you Consumer Reports is now rating heart surgeon groups. We didn't include one important factor in those ratings. The magazine does take into account whether a group treats older or sicker patients than others.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by CSX, working to reduce traffic and pollution while moving 1 million tons of freight daily. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
The European Union continues to divide over plans to tax the banks there. The bank tax is supposed to curb financial risk-taking and help prevent a future financial crisis. But as the BBC's Tim Bowler reports from London, as with many European debates, this one has a number of different perspectives.
The big stumbling block is taxing bank transactions. Tax supporters say that would help curb excessive risk-taking by adding some extra costs for short-term betting. However, opponents say banks would easily be able to avoid this by shifting deal-making to other countries, particularly the United States, which has not introduced such a tax. Dominic Barbe is from BNP Paribas.
On the caption markets, we've got so much liquidity and possibility of moving activity from one center to another that it will be extremely difficult to tax financial activities.
Despite the dispute over the bank transaction tax, there is mostly agreement over taxing bank profits. And yet, even then, Europe has also failed to agree on where the money from an agreed-upon tax would go. Germany wants the money to fund a rescue account, but Britain and France want the money to go straight back into their national budgets. Despite the disagreements, Europe has in many ways gone further down the line than the US. Congress failed to back a plan to introduce a $19 billion tax on the profits of large banks and hedge funds. In London, I'm the BBC's Tim Bowler reporting for Marketplace.
And finally, we live in a consumer-driven world, not even able to escape it in the movie theater. Now, before the movie starts, there are previews for other flicks, of course, but increasingly there are commercials for everything from soda to sneakers to cars. Well, one Chinese woman had enough. She is suing a cinema and the distributors of the Chinese box office hit Aftershock for wasting her time, that's what she says, wasting her time with 20 minutes of commercials. She's demanding a full refund, the equivalent to $5 in compensation, 15 cents for emotional damages, and she wants a written apology. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.